The following is a pre-recorded program.
Once in a while, you hear a testimony of someone who came to Christ, and it's so refreshing, and it's so encouraging, and you know your listeners are going to love it. I'm in Washington, D.C., and a man of God, Dr. Scurry, is here. Sir, tell everyone a little bit. I want to hear your story, but kind of... Tell everyone kind of who you are. How would you introduce yourself to our listeners? Like, people listening all over the country, all over the world. What would you say?
I'm a Jesus man.
I love that.
Not a Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever, but just a Jesus man. But I came late in life. I was 49 years old, and it was miracle after miracle after miracle before God finally got my attention.
Sir. From a bullet, a gun to your head, to all kinds of other interesting things, to, you know, questioning. You're an intellect. You've always been involved in the law, and you've always been involved in scholarship. And then to have the breakthrough to Christ, to be passionate about putting God's word into every public school and all the things that you're involved with now. Tell us how you got there. Tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, the most important thing is I was sitting in Radio City Music Hall. And they did this thing at the end of the show, of the Christmas show. And it was, they did the nativity scene. And then the nativity scene went back in the background, and they were singing these beautiful Christmas carols, gorgeous girls singing them. But they shut all that off. A piece of gauze came down, and they did this thing called One Solitary Life. And the important thing, it was about, he was born in an obscure village, and he was raised in another obscure village. And he preached, became a wandering minister and preached for 3 years. And I'm thinking to myself, and then he was hung on a cross. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, 3 years. 3 years, you've got a man that preaches for 3 years and he has nothing going for him, no money, no powerful friends, nothing. And now 2,000 years have come and gone, and you take all the famous people in the world and put them together and they haven't affected mankind as much as this one solitary life. And I'm thinking, it's all got to be true. Everything in the Bible's got to be true. All of it's got to be true. And that's how I came to faith. And it's just, it's so extraordinary. And I had done many miracles in my life before that, including getting shot in the head.
Now, the doctor said there's no way you were shot in the head, that you even are alive. Tell everyone that story. Remarkable.
Well, I got mugged in Harlem, and they put the gun against my head and pulled the trigger, and in the hospital, the doctor kept asking me, how many times were you shot? And I kept telling him, just once. He said, you got a metal plate in your head. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you got two bullet holes in your head, and they're right next to each other. I mean, almost touching. And he said, one's jagged, one's round. He said, that means the bullet bounced off your head. And he said, that's not possible unless you got a metal plate. I didn't have a metal plate. And doctors will tell you, that can't be what you're telling me can't be. But that's what happened to me.
Wow.
So that was God trying to get my attention.
Yeah, and you still went out and lived for the devil for a little while there until God brought you back in. He still had mercy, though, huh?
Until I heard that. The other thing that brought me to Jesus was my best friend died. And I went to the funeral, came out of the funeral, and there was a rainbow in the sky. Not on the horizon, like always, like meteorologists will tell you, always. Instead, it was directly over the church, and it was upside down.
Wow.
And it was in Dobson's book called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And the publishers of the book, they didn't believe the photograph, so they put it in the book upside down so that the rainbow was like usual in a frown. But... we called and told them that wasn't right. They changed the next edition. All the rest of the editions of the book had it right, with a rainbow directly over the church and in a smile instead of in an upside down. It's amazing.
It's remarkable how God kept sending you these different messages. And it's interesting. Everyone listening, you know, you're listening. Maybe you're following the Lord today because of a pattern of people speaking into your life or going to. Hearing the gospel through a Christmas carol, through a program like you did at Radio City Music Hall, or through an experience where you're shot in the head and you survived. God wasn't done with you yet. And tell us...
We had another miracle. The other miracle was I got involved in a project to get the Bible taught in public schools. And you're going to think, well, that's not possible. You know, separation of church and state and all that. But we did it. We wrote a book. Put $1 million into the book, most expensive textbook that's ever been written to teach the Bible in public schools. And Time magazine came by and said they were going to write a negative story. By the time we got done with them, we were in 22 schools. We were a nothing ball. And we ended up on the cover of Time magazine and the cover of Time magazine with these words, why we should teach the Bible in public schools.
That's something.
On the cover of Time magazine. Can you imagine? I mean, that's another one of God's miracles. He just done it. The first thing I'm going to ask when I get upstairs is, why me, God? Why did you do all? Why did you put all these blessings on me?
Talk about your vocation and kind of how you became such a curious person, asking these tough questions, being a little bit skeptical, challenging, you know, kind of growing up. Talk about that journey and your vocation and everything like that.
Well, I went to work for IBM. I was with IBM for 21 years. There were a whole bunch of miracles in that as well, but I don't want to go into all that. I want to go to the end. I ended up getting executive recruited away. I went to work for Chemical Bank and was a senior vice president there, and then ended up going with the hedge fund. And then I got involved in this project to get the Bible taught in public schools, which I mentioned. And that's when I left and got that, went into that. So it, I've never owned a company or made $1 zillion or anything like that. I've just been an ordinary person that God has chosen for reasons I don't know. First question as I ask, as I said, is why me, Lord? Why did you do all these things for me? It's been just extraordinary. My life has been extraordinary, but as I said, I'm not a famous person. I'm just a little guy.
Well, we just left a crowded room where we heard some great music here in Washington, D.C. We heard Pastor Cruz, Ted Cruz's father, preach a powerful message on revival, on following Jesus. We had someone get saved in that room. I mean, it was just a beautiful moment. And you grabbed me afterwards and said, you got a second, and you just unloaded some heavy stuff with me that I had to capture by way of audio. I call you Brother Scurry. I mean, you've got a lot of names you've been called, I know, but I've just known you for years. You've been a great friend, a great mentor. As we close out this little segment, sir, and thank you for sharing your testimony, what is your legacy? What is it you want on your tombstone? What is it you want to set about your life? When you get to heaven one day with Big Stu, and we're all up there, what is it on this earth, the impact you want to make, and what do you want to say to all those listening out there to challenge them?
I think the biggest thing is you can be a little guy, and God can accomplish miracles, both to you, as when I was shot in the head, or through you, because we have been successful at getting the Bible into schools in 45 of the 50 states, which is a miracle in itself. And I've still got that legacy to write, because we're not done yet. I'm like Schindler, looking at his ring and saying, I could have saved another Jew with this ring. And I'm saying, if I'd worked a little harder, a little smarter, we could have gotten in more schools. And just reading the Bible brings a lot of people to Christ. So that's the legacy I would like most, is I'd like to bring more people to Jesus. And I'd like to, maybe this story, somebody out there hearing this story will say to themselves, you know, that guy's right. We couldn't have Christianity unless it was all true, because Jesus did it in 3 years. So it's all got to be true. And somebody's going to hear this message and say to themselves, the guy's right. Maybe I better check into this guy, Jesus, a little more.
Praise the Lord. And the Bible ministry you're involved with, is there like a website or a name that we could tell our listeners to kind of Google to find out more about how they can be a part of getting the Bible into public schools? Which we know that book changes everything. That is a life-changing book, because it's the book of God. How would you direct people to find that out, and we can maybe publish that for everyone?
It's BibleLiteracy.org.
Okay. BibleLiteracy.org.
BibleLiteracy.org, and I have been away from it for a few years, so it's not like it should be, but we're getting back into it. We're going to fix it, and it'll be a better website. But it's still got the basic information.
God bless you. Thanks for sharing your story.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate all you folks out there. And I bless you, and I wish Jesus comes into your life in a bigger way than he ever has before.
Truth Talk.